This is a disturbing memory from my young childhood. I was about 7 or 8 years old. My mom would usually take my brother and I trick-or-treating, but this particular year, after school, she dropped me off at my friend Sean's house, where Sean, our friend Johnny, and I would go together. Johnny and Sean were a year older than me. We met while I was playing with my brother on the block. Johnny and Sean lived around the block from me. Sean had a weird upbringing that I never really understood. His sister was like 20 years old. There was a big gap between them. She was always his caretaker, it seemed, whenever I was at his house. His house always smelled like cat, and his sister always had a different guy over, it seemed like. His sister was always cold to me, in the sense that she'd never acknowledge me or say hi or anything. Sean's dad was never in the picture, and his mom, I believe, was always working out of town, I guess. I only met Sean's mom a few times. We never really stayed in touch for long enough for me to figure all of this out. Anyway, my mom dropped me off at Sean's, expecting that Sean's mom would be trick-or-treating with us. After saying goodbye, I went into his house. Johnny was already there. We all had big pillow sacks to fill with candy. This was around the time that I learned that neither Sean's mom nor sister were coming with us to supervise. I was young, so I sort of felt slightly uncomfortable knowing that Johnny and Sean would be leading the way. But at the same time, I felt a sense of excitement that we'd have more freedom. I knew for a fact my mom would not have approved of us going unsupervised, though. So, eventually, we were off into the neighborhood, walking around doing our rounds door to door. Quite a few people asked if we were alone or where our parents were, and Johnny would always be the one to use the same lie, that his mom is up ahead with his sister. It worked every time. This was on a Friday, so we didn't get to start a trick-or-treating until around 5 o'clock. But we didn't have school the next day, so we intended on going until our pillow sacks were completely full. We took a break after a couple of hours and went to Sean's, where he heated up a bunch of frozen pizzas. At the time, I was so jealous of the apparent freedom he had in his house, not having parents who cared about what he did. But looking back now, I count myself super blessed to have grown up in a household with 2 strict parents. After we hung out at his house for an hour and watched Halloween specials on Nickelodeon while eating pizza and candies, Johnny eventually was picked up by his mom, but Sean and I wanted to keep going, so we eventually headed back out for round 2. It was dark out now, and it had to be past 8 p.m. There were a lot less trick-or-treaters now. We tried to go to certain blocks we hadn't gone down yet, which meant straying further away from Sean's house. We found a block we hadn't touched yet and continued knocking on doors. Some houses didn't answer at this hour, and mostly everyone else had a comment about us being alone or how it's getting late. We noticed a man pushing a stroller a couple houses down behind us. He was walking very slowly in our direction, probably a dad trick-or-treating for his young child. As we continued going door to door, the man with the stroller got closer. Eventually, we heard him going shh and singing softly. Eventually, he caught up to us, and he said, "How's the trick-or-treating going, boys?" And we replied, "Good," at the same time. And then he said, "It's pretty late. I'm on my way back to my house. I can give you guys the rest of my candy." Sean and I looked at each other with telling faces, as if we just hit the jackpot. Sean asked what kind of candies, and he said a bunch of bags of different things. He said he didn't get to give much away because he wanted to take his daughter out for a trick-or-treat stroll. He did have a bag dangling on one of the handles of the stroller, which was filled with some candies. The stroller was fully covered by a folding piece on the top, so we couldn't see his daughter. He said she's asleep and he didn't want to wake her up, but he pointed ahead and said his house is just up this way. So we followed behind him as he pushed the stroller. He was walking a little faster now. As we walked, I realized there was next to no one else out at this point, even though it was a Friday night. It seemed like a quieter side of the neighborhood. The man talked to us as we walked, asking us questions. What part of the neighborhood we were from, where we went to school, basic stuff. I let Sean answer most of the questions. Him being even just a year older than me at that age, I felt like he was the one who should take lead. On multiple occasions as we walked, the man would lean into the stroller and talk in a high pitch to his daughter. Then he turned back and smiled at us. We finally made it to his house. He led us up the walkway with the stroller and unlocked his door. After he opened it, he brought the stroller with his daughter inside first, and then invited us to come inside. Sean led the way, so I followed. I was the one to ask if we could leave the door open, and the man paused and then said, "Yeah, of course." He said he'll be right back as he goes to get the candy bags. He pushed the stroller into the middle of the living room, only about 10 feet away from where we were standing. I nudged Sean because I felt uncomfortable. I whispered, "Why would he leave the candy so far away?" Sean didn't respond. Instead, he turned toward the living room and then walked up to the stroller. He lifted up the folding part that was covering the baby, and he looked disturbed. He hurried back to me, whispering, "Let's go." He was full on running once we got outside, and I followed behind, which was a bit tougher because we had those heavy pillow sacks. I still was confused about what he saw, but just then, we heard a woman's voice yell, "Excuse me." It was one of his neighbors. She came running over to us and asked if we know that man, and it was at this point that Sean spilled the beans and said he offered us his leftover candy, but he was pushing a stroller with a fake baby in it. I remember getting goosebumps as he said that. The woman said, "Yeah, that man doesn't have a child. I saw you was walking by with him." She took us to her car and drove each of us home. I know, getting into a stranger's car after that was another questionable move. The woman came to my front door to talk to my mom about what we just told her. My mom was distraught. After I told her every last detail about the night, she sent me to my room while my parents called the police on that man. My parents never told me anything about what happened after that. I believe they wanted to shelter me from any more exposure to the situation. My mom didn't want me going over to Sean's house anymore, and I know she had quite a bit to say to Sean's mom. I did see Sean at school once in a while still, and we'd remain cordial, but our friendship was never the same after that night. It was Halloween night, 2016. I was tasked by my parents to hand out candies to all the kids for the day. My mom bought a million bags of candy that I knew we'd have left over for weeks, and I'd be the one regrettably munching on them for days, if not weeks, to come, as I was trying to lose weight. I always told my mom she went way overboard with the candies. The house was in a cul-de-sac on a dead end. We hardly got any trick-or-treaters usually. However, we did have some loyal kids who'd always come to our house knowing how much candy we'd give. Halloween was on a Monday this year. I was in college. I conveniently had Mondays and Wednesdays off this semester. So the first half of the day, I went to the gym and then worked on my assignments for class. It was always around 4 p.m. that the sound of kids outside would indicate that trick-or-treaters were out. The first time the doorbell rang was, I guess, somewhere between 4 p.m. and 5 p.m. The day went as you'd expect. There's nothing interesting about handing out candies all day to little kids and my dog Vito barking like crazy every time the doorbell rang. I'd say from the first trick-or-treater to 8 p.m., there were maybe 10 to 15 total. As I said, that cul-de-sac was out of the way for people to come. It was more effective for trick-or-treaters to pass it and just keep going straight. It being a Monday night, things quieted down much earlier than usual, I'd say. I got enough homework done, I put a dent in my projects, and so I had some of my mom's leftover stew and went to my room to watch Game of Thrones. I was literally 2 episodes in when I heard the unexpected sound of the doorbell. Vito started barking again. I looked at the clock and it had to be like 9:30. This was definitely beyond the cutoff time for trick-or-treaters. I went downstairs to the front door and opened it. On the other side of the glass storm door was a very tall man in a clown costume with a very scary-looking mask. I knew it was a man just based off the frame of the person. He was alone. He waved at me and then pointed at the brown sack he was holding. It looked basically empty. I didn't open the storm door. I just said through it, "Sorry, we don't have any more candy," and slammed the door shut. I locked it right away. I instantly regretted opening the door. I genuinely thought it was just some kid or an unfortunate mother or father who worked late and wanted to get some last-minute trick-or-treating in with their kids. Whoever I just saw on our stoop was not a kid. Hell, it didn't even look like a teenager. The frame of this person was massive, and the clown costume just made him look even bigger. Thankfully, I didn't grab the candy bag before opening the door, so he couldn't see that I was lying. I hovered by the door for a bit just to listen and see if I'd hear footsteps walking away. But not only did I not hear him walk away, he rang the doorbell again. Vito once again started going ballistic. Vito's a rat terrier. His bark is not intimidating, nor would he ever actually defend the home from an intruder. I picked him up and carried him upstairs after turning off the lights downstairs. This was my half-assed attempt at getting him to think I was absolutely never opening that door again tonight. I put Vito in my room and shut the door so he wouldn't keep barking. I stood at the top of the stairs listening, and then I heard through the front door, the storm door being forced open, like there was a loud snap implying that the latch may have been broken from force. I then heard both knocks on the front door, and then the doorknob moving around. At this point, I decided to hide my room. I was incredibly unsettled. I texted my family group chat about what was going on. No one answered, though. Of course. I knew that whoever that was had to get bored. I would have texted all my guy friends asking who it was, but all my guy friends are short. I resumed the episode I was watching. I was truly just trying to pretend he wasn't there. What else was I to do? The doorbell rang once again, though. This was a nightmare. I kept telling Vito to shush. I had my blinds closed too. I didn't want that fucking clown knowing what room I was in. I tried calling my dad, but he didn't pick up. I called my brother, who picked up saying he wasn't alone, and I knew that meant he was with a girl. I told him, check my texts. There's some guy dressed as a clown at the door and he won't go away. My brother said it's a Halloween prank and to just ignore it. He seemed like he was in a hurry to get off the phone, so I hung up. I hoped he was right. It honestly made the most sense to be a prank. So after a few more minutes of sitting on the edge of my bed, anxious, the doorbell did not ring again. I finally felt safe to relax again and lay back down. I started drifting away slowly, so I turned off the TV to allow complete silence and darkness in the room. And very shortly after that, I drifted to sleep. I don't even think I was asleep long enough to enter REM state and have a dream when I woke up to Tito growling and quietly barking, as he would do when he was waiting for approval from one of us. I told him to be quiet, and he stopped. I looked to see what he was looking at. He was looking at the window. I listened. There was a sound coming from, like, right outside the window. The slightest thumping sounds. And I could almost swear the sound of something rubbing on the window. My bedroom was on the second floor of the house. It's not like anyone could be outside my window, but I wondered what it was. I got up and pushed open the blind on my window, and boy was I wrong. That man dressed as a clown was at my window. All I could see was that horrific mask on the other side of the glass. He tilted his head as he looked at me, screaming my lungs out. Tito didn't even bark from what I remember, or maybe I just blocked everything else out. I ran with my phone out of my room and to my parents' bedroom, where I locked the door and dialed 911. I was too shook to even cry. My whole body was shaking and my voice was trembling as I spoke to the 911 operator. I must have asked the operator once every 20 seconds to get the police to hurry up. She'd tell me the same thing every time. They're coming as fast as they can. The police got to the house in roughly 10 minutes. They examined the exterior of the house to look for any attempted entry points. All they found was that the latch on the front storm door was broken, like I figured, and leaned against the side of the house by my bedroom window was my dad's ladder. That man went into our storage shed outside and found my dad's ladder to use to climb up to my window. To avoid this going any further, I went to go sleep at my guy friend Adam's house. To this day, I don't know if this was just a sick, sick prank purposely played on Halloween, or if there was about to be a horrible crime committed with the sick novelty of it being Halloween. It was late October, Saturday, Halloween weekend. I think Halloween was on a Tuesday this year, so the big party night was the Saturday before. My friends and I were still looking for last-minute plans since everything was sold out. Ideally, we wanted to find a house party. We all had pretty funny costumes too, and we wanted to get good use out of them. My friend Kate actually decided to put on her Instagram and Snapchat stories looking for parties tonight. Not something I would have ever done. I'd find that to be kind of shameless and embarrassing, but I was glad she was willing to do it. I was surprised when she texted in the group chat that someone hit her up about a party. Pretty soon after, she sent a screenshot of the details in the group chat. It had an address, start time, and a few ground rules, such as the party would only be indoors, no backyard access, and bring your own booze. It also said must bring at least one girl for every guy. The guy who sent the details to Kate was one of our guy friends around our age, who mutually knew a lot of the same people we did. Apparently a number of people we knew were going to this party. The house address was one town over, super close. So between the four of us, we all went to Shauna's house since she had the open crib. We pre-gamed there for about an hour as we all finished up getting ready. We waited till our guy friends confirmed that they were going. Then we decided to head over. We called an Uber. We all had our own drinks, varying from Four Locos to White Claws to vodka shooters. The Uber driver was probably sick of us by the end of the drive. When we got to the house, we saw a bunch of cars everywhere. The house was pretty big, a very spacious front yard. We were four girls walking in, so surely whoever was throwing this party was gonna love us. We didn't hear any music until we got closer to the door. Then we heard the beating of the bass. I opened the door, and the first room we were in was a cross between the living room and the kitchen. The entire house was very dimly lit, only by a bunch of orange lights hung up, definitely creating a Halloween party ambiance. The place was decently crowded, but honestly, we didn't know anyone. Kate texted the guys we knew to see if they were here yet. In the meantime, some older guy came and greeted us. He asked our names, and he said he's John, Luke's dad. Apparently, Luke was the guy throwing this party. I asked who Luke is, where he goes to school, and he replied, "Oh, he's around here somewhere. You can ask him when you see him." Then he asked us if we wanted to put our drinks in the cooler. He led us into the kitchen, where there were three big coolers of ice. Each one already had a bunch of drinks in it. So we put some of our cans in the coolers. The John guy seemed like he was 50-something years old, which would make sense if his son was the one throwing the party, but at the same time, it seemed slightly weird he'd be so welcoming and involved in such a big party in his own house. He was going around talking to everybody. Well, it seems mostly the girls. He seemed like he could have also been drunk. The four of us played beer pong at one of the tables, where some guys started talking to us, so we started playing them. Kate then said our guy friends were on the way, which I was happy to hear. John suddenly yelled my and Kate's names over by the counter in the kitchen. He was yelling shots. My other two friends, Shauna and Tracy, looked slightly offended, so I said, "Can we all have one?" And he yelled, "Yeah, sure." So we went over to the kitchen counter by him and all took a shot of tequila. I gagged because there was no lime. I was definitely starting to get drunk after this. It was odd how much the dad of the house was trying to hype this party up. He had this oddly welcoming yet unsettling presence. The unsettling part because he was much older than the generally college-aged people here, and he was pushing drinks on people. Then he asked what our poison is. I wasn't going to say anything until the girls all gave their favorite drinks. John started making a bunch of mixed drinks. In the meantime, we went back to the beer pong table where the guys we were playing were still waiting. I plugged my phone into an outlet just because I was down to like 50%. Then I went back to the game. Mid-game, John came over with two drinks for Kate and I, and then he came back with two more for Shauna and Tracy. They were all in red solo cups. He made me a vodka soda. I sipped on it during our beer pong game whenever I had a chance. I was drinking it slow because I was already drunk. After we lost to the random guys, I went to get my phone, only to realize it didn't charge at all. It was still at the same percent. The outlet wasn't working. I didn't feel comfortable leaving my phone on any other outlets, so I just refrained from killing the battery any further. Our guy friends eventually showed up, and it was soon after this point that things quickly became a blur. I mean very quickly. Like one second I remember talking with our friend Jeff, the next blacked out. The next thing I remember was my friends waking me up in the car outside my house. I felt woozy. My vision was blurred, my head was spinning. We were in one of our guy friends' cars. One of the guys walked me to my front door and helped me inside, then they all left. I was alone, except for my parents asleep in their room. I felt I must have drank way too much, but I also had a woozy, weird feeling in my head that I'd never felt from drinking. I felt dizzy. I went straight to my room to bed. I checked my phone, and I had some texts from a random unsaved number. I opened it, and there were a bunch of texts already. It started with me texting my name, and then they responded, "John." Uh-oh. After that, he said, "You look so cute." Based on the time he sent this, it was still during the party. There was a 2-hour gap from then until he texted me again saying, "Where did my favorite girls go?" I was shocked at myself that I gave that man my number. I must have been drunker than I thought. But regardless, I lowered my head onto the pillow and fell asleep instantly. The next morning, I woke up to some disturbing texts. As my head was spinning, I read these sickening texts. After I fell asleep, I got texts from John that said, "Where are you? I'm coming to your house. You left something here." Followed by, "I'm here. Can you come to the door?" Followed by, "Hello, are you awake?" He also tried calling me 3 times. This was all at like 2 a.m. I sent the screenshot to my friends, and this was when they reminded me of what happened. John was all over me as I was increasingly becoming a zombie. My friends started getting concerned, so they pulled me away and we left the party. And just as we were leaving, 2 police cars showed up outside, presumably for a noise complaint. And as we left, everyone took note of there being no furniture in the house. It was just a big empty space filled with people and beer pong tables. One of my guy friends looked up the number somehow, and he told me it was a voice over IP number, which I didn't understand, so he just said it was a fake phone number that John texted me from. He also said that with my number, he could easily find my address. I felt even more sick now. I asked if anyone ever met his alleged son, and everyone said no. We were starting to think there was no son, and when Shauna suggested he might have roofied me, it made so much sense. I'd never before felt the way I was feeling. We decided to take this to the police. We all went to the nearest police station and reported everything, including the texts. The cop at the front desk asked if this was in relation to the house party in the vacant house last night. We were at first confused by him saying vacant house, until he explained that there was a call from neighbors about a party going on in a house that had been vacant for some time. We all looked at each other with our mouths gaping. We were all brought into an office to sit down with, I guess, a detective to take down the whole story. He took the fake phone number and said they'll try to trace this back to somebody once they get a warrant. We gave the police everything we could, and we went on our way. I blocked the fake number. I honestly felt sick over this for a while. As the days went on and nothing happened, I was confident it was over. But none of us ever heard from the police. We never heard of any arrests being made or anything. To think that man went out of his way to advertise a house party in a vacant house to have access to young women, roofied me and possibly other girls, lied about having a son, all of this. This was clearly a very, very dangerous man, and the fact that we still haven't been called in to identify anybody scares me to think he's still roaming free. This was a month ago. I'll update if things change, and I'm crossing my fingers that they do.